Friday. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang in hour number two. Speaking of sexy liberals, Congressman Alan Grayson in hour number two. All right.
Your boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. Thank you. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Like Greg does, I don't know where Greg's from, but he's the smartest boy in class today about Russian free speech. Steph, wouldn't it be interesting if Snowden went to Russia and said something positive about gays and was then imprisoned for his free speech since Russia is such a great and free society?
That's true.
Snowden didn't seem to think a few things out.
I didn't think things through.
Yes, he may have, he may need to recalculate, recalculating.
He'll have to change his name to Snowden.
Snowderp. Okay. All right. By the way, oh, and all right, we'll get to all the dissension and the hate mail and whatever. First correction. This one, Jim, from JJ saying, Steph, please tell Jim that Vili Falala is no longer Mary Calaterno's lover.
Oh, Vili Falala is no longer Mary Calaterno's lover,
they
apparently.
They have been married for 9 years now, so she is Mary Calaterno Falala.
Mary Calaterno Falala.
They're still together?
Apparently.
Wow. I never would have seen that
JJ
coming.
JJ knows because she's a local gal, Mary Kay.
A local gal.
A local Seattle gal.
Seattle.
Yeah, Mary Kay Letourneau Falala.
Which is not in California.
Who is no longer Falala's lover. All right. Oh, goodness. And another day, some more hate mail for me.
Oh, boy.
See this NSA thing. You know what? We're back in, like, the primaries between
Hillary and Obama.
There's the right kind of liberals and the wrong kind of liberals. I apologize if I said Thomas Friedman was a liberal. I didn't mean a liberal. He's apparently he's more of a centrist. I don't whatever.
He has a right
to his point of view.
He's a neocon. Right. Exactly.
But Fox News could say anyone that writes for the New York Times is a communist. So I just said you can't discount
Except
his point
for
of view.
Miller.
Then I heard someone saying Al Franken's not the right kind of liberal anymore because now he has a different view on the NSA thing than when he was a senator.
Whatever.
You know what? It's
for
tearing
the love of God.
It's tearing the Republican Party
Randy
apart,
Rhodes
too.
Randy Rhodes gets
so.
Emails that she's not the right kind of liberal anymore and screw you and blah, blah. Go ahead.
More importantly, what does Donald Trump think about Modern Family?
Oh, Donald Trump hates Modern Family?
Just tried watching Modern Family, written by a moron. Really boring. Writer is the mind of a very dumb and backward child. Hugely boring.
Yeah. You know what? He's a
moronic.
Huge idiot.
You are an idiot!
Yeah, how many bazillion bags of Emmys has Modern Family won? Whatever. Oh, Donald Trump doesn't like us.
Oh, well. Might as well throw in the towel.
Yeah. Has The Apprentice ever won an Emmy?
I think not. All right.
You're fired.
Yes.
You're fired. You're all fired.
All right. So we'll all get to the dissension over in Assyria. Yet another, another split between... Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of going into Syria. How about you?
Not really.
No. Okay, then.
Not really. It seems a little messy in there.
Yeah. Seems a bit of a viper pit.
Yeah, a bit of bag of vipers.
Yes.
Just saying. Okay. Pete from Illinois, because, you know, you have, again, and Bill Clinton agreed with John McCain yesterday. And as you know, John McCain's formula for any conflict anywhere in the world.
Strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill. Kill.
Shut up.
Okay, Pete in Illinois writes, Dear Stephanie, for a girl who claims to be Catholic, you come across as being Jewish.
What?
Huh?
What? Huh?
Wait.
What does that mean?
That as a pejorative, or I don't... The name Miller is typically German or Jewish.
What?
My dad was Jewish, yes. And Irish.
Polish and Catholic.
My mom was Polish and Catholic. My dad was German and Irish.
German and Irish.
Okay.
And Catholic.
But your dad wasn't Jewish.
No.
Oh, you just said your dad was Jewish.
No.
But, okay. I'm sorry,
Pete
I got confused.
Saying the name Miller is typically German or Jewish.
Okay.
Yes, Pete. German, in this case. Miller. And only a Jew would know all of the Hebrew sayings, and you do.
Oh, wow.
Check you. Or if one had dated a Jewish girl for 10 years.
For example.
Yeah. That had been in the Israeli army.
Or if your partner had been in the Israeli army. Then you would know how to say I can't say it.
That was your Irish side coming out where you couldn't pronounce the...
Gamanimote.
Yeah.
All right. Badzona. Okay. That was a bad word. Sorry. I apologize.
Do I need to dump that?
No. No. Only a Jew would bring up the Nazis, and you do.
I bring up the Nazis all the time.
Yes!
I'm not Jewish.
You're not Jewish either. I don't bring up the Nazis all the time. He does.
Yeah.
I bring up the Nazis in the sense that my dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. And German, and not Jewish. Okay.
Or, according to Jimmy, was a Nazi sympathizer.
Yes. That he interrogated Goering, or as Jim said, he was Goering's pal. What's going on? And only
maybe your dad gave him the cyanide pill. Wait a minute. No.
God. No. Oh, my God. My father did not give Goering the cyanide pill. He was there to interrogate him. Oh, I have a my eye already. And only a Jew would associate with other Jews on your show.
What?
There's not a single Jewish person who works for the show.
He must be referring to Jackie Schechter. See? Now I'm colluding as well.
Sure.
You're colluding with the Jews.
As well as a Jew that is... What?
Catholic.
Oh, we're not done. What? Pete's only getting warmed up.
Well, that was 4 minutes of music.
Yes. Well, Pete's got a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
This is the Jew part's only the first paragraph.
Ah.
Only a Jew would attack a German like Reince Priebus.
Again?
Making German jokes.
I'm not Jewish. Pretty much everyone I knew in high school was Jewish, but I also
anyone that recognizes he's a doofus, actually.
Yeah.
Would attack Reince Priebus. Okay.
Halloween.
Only a Jew? Really?
No.
Okay. And lastly, I find it, and it's not lastly, by the way, because there's a lot more to come.
You're like halfway through.
I'm a little winded by this hate letter and confused. Lastly, I find it hypocritical on your part to be making gay and parasol jokes about Republican Senator Lindsey Graham when you yourself are gay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, John, you again.
Ha ha ha. Gotcha.
Except that I've been out for quite some time. A lot of people think
only a
Lindsey
gay
Graham
Jew
is...
would carry a parasol.
What?
Right. I apologize, but I have no information on Lindsey Graham's sexuality. I'm just saying, like most people. Okay.
Oh, my stars. How dare you insinuate that
Stephanie Miller Show apologizes for the insinuation that well-known Southern belle Lindsey Graham frequently clutches the pearl necklace. We apologize. And I notice... Oh, here's another one. You make jokes about everyone on the five, except for Kimberly Guilfoyle. Actually, we've made fun of Kimberly Guilfoyle as well when she says something doofy. Not hard to figure out why you don't, since her ex-husband is a liberal who appears on your show, and they have a divorce agreement that forbids mentioning her name. Good one, except that you're wrong about that. I don't make jokes about her, and just because I've had Gavin Newsom on the show, divorce agreement doesn't forbid me from mentioning Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Isn't Kimberly Guilfoyle the well-known right-wing velociraptor?
Yes, yes. On the five.
And apparently you were married because you're part of the divorce agreement. So.
Yes, apparently. I was specifically mentioned in Gavin Newsom.
You were married to Gavin
agreement.
Newsom.
What? Don't I wish. Just the thought of it has me on the turn. Okay.
He is one beautiful, beautiful man.
Oh, he's so handsome.
I was quite taken by him.
Oh, he's handsome and romantic.
He almost turned me gay.
Okay, and here we go. You know, really, the interesting thing about this letter is pretty much everything in here is wrong. Okay. You actually are a chicken and never have any conservatives in your studio.
That's wrong.
We will certainly let Orly Tates know that she has not been here twice. I saw you... Oh, here's another one. I saw you years ago on Larry King. Since then, I have never seen you since then on any of these shows. Well, except that I'm on Aaron Burnett
every
day.
Single night. And Larry King was canceled on CNN.
Yes.
Right.
So that's
Larry
why
King? That's why you haven't seen me on Larry King on CNN.
But Larry King, a Jew, huh?
Well-known Jew, Larry King.
Oh, incidents, a Jew like you. He must be part of that conspiracy. Okay. Oh, unless there's breaking news.
Wow.
Yeah, I tuned in to Erin Burnett yesterday, and she was in a headscarf in Iran. I'm like, oh, I'm not on tonight. Okay.
Okay, then.
No panel tonight, but... okay, let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, if you're a political comedian, try making jokes about all politicians.
We do.
Thank you.
That's done.
Bob Hope, Johnny Carson, etc. All made jokes, but they made jokes about everybody. Pete from Illinois. Okay.
He wants you to tell more jokes like Bob Hope told.
I need
told.
To be more like Bob Hope.
I don't want to tell you.
That Britt Eklund. How about that?
How about that Charo?
I have. We have said the troops would love me because I am like a slutty Bob Hope.
You are.
Why not? All right. So thank you, Pete. Appreciate that whole your thoughts.
Pete. In German, the name is Peter.
Peter.
And I bet there are some German Jews named Peter.
Wah-ha-ha!
I think Pete might be a Jehu. No, I don't think so.
Oh, dear God, I am dizzy. Animated Tweety Birds.
Tweety Birds,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I'm winded, but I need to take a little break, and then we will talk about Syria. And the whole, we've got a whole liberal-conservative divide again on NSA and on this. And we,
little bit.
We'll talk about all that as we continue. Everybody has a voice here. Even, you know, Jews like me. Okay, 17 minutes.
Well-known Jew associator, Stephanie Miller.
Right. 17 minutes. We're right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What?
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
Different song. 21 minutes after the hour. Fridays, when we always become unhinged.
Yeah.
1-800.
Well, Friday before. Well, we still have one more Friday before vacation.
Right. Not that we're thinking about that at all.
Not at all.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Good morning, Sue.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Now, you know, as the rich Jew of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Show me a poor Jew!
Oh, yeah, you know.
In the words of the immortal Rhode Flair Mary. Go ahead.
Exactly. I have some Hebrew I would just like to say now. You probably, I don't know whether you can buzz it or not because it's in Hebrew.
Okay, but don't do anything bad. You can't swear. Don't.
No, it's not a swear. What it said, I just would like to tell him, and I hope he's listening very carefully.
Okay.
Ya pin no tef ziva?
Yeah, right. Stuck. Like that.
Stuck. And shakli batat,
that
which
bad.
Basically says, you have gonorrhea dripping from a place, so shut up and kiss my butt.
took us. All right. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
Love you. Kiss your little...
Love you. Love.
Okay.
We need to hear from the San Diego Jew this morning.
San Diego Jew, where are you?
Presumably in San Diego.
Oh, boy. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to Anthony in Las Vegas. Hi, Anthony. Hello, Anthony. Anthony, going once, going twice. Rhonda in Alabama. Hi, Rhonda.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. I am really, really, really pissed off with Bill Clinton. And for me, this is the last straw. I'm sick of he and Hillary. Bill Clinton's disrespect.
Here we go again. See, did I say we're going to be back in the primary today? All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Excuse me?
No, I said I was saying we're going to be back in the primary again, right? With the Clinton versus Obama split, right?
It's whatever he want to make it. Because we're really tired of his disrespect that Bill Clinton has for this president. It is constant. He's always throwing disrespect through his little innuendo. If he wasn't disrespecting him on how he handled this, that, or the other on his little television shows, or it's how he handled the question of whether or not he is a citizen. I mean, we have personally had enough.
All right. I gotcha. This is what happened, obviously, yesterday, in case you had not heard. Bill Clinton,
right.
He was speaking with John McCain, and he said Tuesday President Obama risks looking like a wuss, a fool, and lame for not doing more to influence events in Syria, which has obviously caused another of these, you know. And Hillary had said something like that earlier, which people, you know, saw as separating herself from Obama foreign policy, setting herself up for 2016. You know, once again, I would rather have a president that thinks things through and... And finds out, because obviously you remember back in, when was it, April, they had had varying degrees of confidence that sarin had been used in Syria, but said at that time they had not been able to determine who was responsible.
Okay.
You know, I would rather get all the evidence, which I think the president has been doing. He announced this before, I think, these Bill Clinton comments came out. Mm-hmm. So it's not that he was like, oh, Bill Clinton called me a wuss,
right.
Which I'm sure they're going to try to gin that up in right-wing world. But anyway, in case you had just woken up, The United States has conclusive evidence that Syrian President Bashar Assad's regime had used chemical weapons against opposition forces seeking to overthrow the government, crossing what President Obama has called a red line that would trigger greater American involvement in the crisis. So, again, what he had said then is if we determine this, that will cross a red line. They finally have, you know, with their degree of certainty, determined this. In response, two U.S. officials said Obama planned to send weapons and ammunition to bolster rebel forces. And the U.S. has so far provided Syrian rebel armies with rations and medical supplies. And, you know, once again, Jim, it'll never be enough for John McCain, who's already going, oh, it's not, no, bigger weapons, more. It's like Obama still opposes putting American troops on the ground in Syria. U.S. has made no decision on operating a no-fly zone. And we alluded to why this is messy when we opened the show. The proponents of more aggressive action, including John Kerry, appeared to have won out over those wary of sending weapons and ammunition into a war zone where, just to review, Hezbollah and Iranian fighters are backing Assad's armed forces, but al-Qaeda-linked extremists back the rebellion. You know, that's the problem. That's a little messy, and what are the good options there? I mean, yeah. So the new U.S. intelligence assessments show that Assad has used chemical weapons, including sarin, on a small scale multiple times in the last year. Up to 150 people have been killed in those attacks. So McCain has obviously been clamoring for a greater role in U.S. military, including, you know, going to Syria and criticizing the president's policy.
And he met with kidnappers and terrorists.
Right. Before they had finished the intelligence that would tell them, conclusively what had happened. Other lawmakers obviously have expressed reservations about American involvement in another conflict and fears that weapons sent to the rebels could fall into the hands of al-Qaeda-linked groups. So this is not easy stuff. This is a complicated situation. So Jay Carney yesterday.
What does factor in is what's in the national security interest of the United States and what has the best chance of working.
So are we supposed to nuke Damascus? Is that, you know,
what? Well, yeah, if you're John McCain, right. Right, if you're President McCain, absolutely. So what everybody was talking about is, and I guess these comments leaked out, Bill Clinton was speaking with Senator McCain in a closed press event at the McCain Institute. He contrasted Obama's inaction in Syria to his own actions in Kosovo, which included the bombing of the forces of Serbian President Slobodan Milosevic. Clinton said a president must look beyond public and congressional reluctance to military interventions for the sake of national security and to save lives. Again, not sure that's the best analogy, Kosovo. But, I mean, this is what we're talking about. Like, there were definitely a lot of frictions in the primary and some things that Obama said that I know irritated Bill Clinton. And so, you know, I have to say I'm not sure I agree totally with our caller. I think Bill Clinton has been an enormous vocal advocate of the president, you know, and certainly during the campaign. So, go ahead.
Obama shouldn't have called Clinton a jive-ass honky.
Probably.
Yeah, that probably
exacerbated
the situation.
That
was a little over the line, I thought.
Perhaps line.
Insensitive.
That was the red line.
Yeah.
Actually, the white line. That was the honky line.
The honky line.
Right, and he crossed that. Jim Kidds. Okay. He said, Clinton said, you just think how lame you'd be. Suppose I had let 2 million people be refugees out of Kosovo, a couple hundred thousand people die, and say you could have stopped this by dropping a few bombs. Why didn't you do it? And I say, because the House of Representatives voted 75% against it. You look like a total wuss, and you would be. And again, so I think some of this is obviously ego and competitiveness between the two of them. I mean, I know when Obama said the thing about Reagan being transformational in a way that Clinton wasn't. I mean, there are obviously
payback.
Yes, it could be. But, you know, again, and Hillary Clinton was one of the ones who supported, obviously military, you know, or actually arming vetted moderate elements of the Syrian opposition. So anyway, a lot to unravel here. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Lovely.
Stephanie Miller.
For someone who's not even in our club, you got some brass boobs coming in here and telling us what to do.
Yes, this show really is an interruption of our otherwise ridiculous little lives. You were going to eat something. You can't watch cat videos now.
Damn it.
Really. 34 minutes after
suppose
the hour.
You have to entertain the folks.
All right,
whatever. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, I'm saving the story. Jim, it turns out there may be a gay priest in the Vatican.
A gay cabal.
Yeah, gay lobby, something. We'll save that for the ecclesiastical move, John Fields is saying in the third hour. Shocked.
I'm really shocked.
Homos in the Vatican.
Wow-wee. Yikes. Who could have seen that coming?
Well, you know, the dresses and the red shoes.
Right.
The Prada shoes.
Fabulous hats.
Yeah, the guy in the little Prada
Easter
shoes
bonnets,
and the dress kind of blew the doors off that one. Yikes. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Pete in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing
Hi,
today?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm extremely concerned about us getting involved in Syria in the worst way possible.
Mm-hmm.
I remember about 25 years ago when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, we helped out a guy, gave him a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of guns.
Osama bin
Laden. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And my synopsis is who can we trust over in Syria? And how do
we
know that we're not actually building up another Osama bin Laden?
Well, yeah, right. And how do you, I mean, obviously, like as we were saying, Hezbollah, Iranian forces on the side of Assad, then we've got, elements of Al-Qaeda, as you just said, on the side we're helping. And so, you know, again, I'm glad that the president thought this through. I'm glad that we waited until our intelligence confirmed that, you know, he had used chemical weapons. I mean... Obviously, what everybody's talking about this morning, you know, is Bill Clinton saying that Obama may look like a wuss over Syria. And again, this is the split we had. It's interesting, like, I'm currently getting called not the right kind of liberal or not a true liberal over the NSA because I'm, like a lot of Americans, I'm a little, you know, conflicted about the whole thing in terms of security and civil liberties. And it's, I think everybody that has an opinion, whether it's Thomas Friedman or Al Franken or Randy Rhodes or Tom Hartman or whoever, everybody's opinion is valid. They're all smart people, you know. But anyway, my point
I'm
is
I'm not
just,
sure Rand Paul's opinion is valid.
No, but I mean, you remember during the primary, I got called a communist and whatever because I supported Obama because Clinton clearly ran to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another example. We were saying, you know, Hillary Clinton supported arming vetted moderate elements of the Syrian opposition, was rebuffed by the White House. This was back when she told the New York Times in February she'd been an advocate for more forceful action in Syria, a move seen by many as an attempt to distance herself from Obama's Syria policy just before she left office in advance of her 2016 run. And again, I will be a strong supporter of Hillary when she runs, hopefully, in 2016. I think she would be vastly preferable to a Ted Cruz or a Rand Paul or a Chris Christie, even. So, Jay Carney yesterday commenting on that.
He welcomes, the input of every individual out there who has perspective on a situation like this, absolutely.
And that would include President Clinton.
Yes, who had a perspective.
Well, if Chris Christie gets in, I hope they saved William Howard Taft's chair.
Stop it. He is losing weight.
That's
he's
right.
actually looking a lot skinnier.
Jim's a helper. It's there somewhere in the archives. Taft's chair.
Probably in the basement somewhere.
We're just preparing. We're trying to help.
Didn't we drink water from Taft's bathtub when we were there?
That's what it tasted like.
The White House water? Yeah.
I do not think it was water from William Taft's bathtub. And the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize to relatives
William
of
Taft.
William Taft, who
but
may
he was,
be offended.
Like, he was a large, large man.
Yes, he was. And we apologize to his probably equally large relatives. Oh, now you see what you made me do.
Oh, look, he is looking better. Yeah, he is.
But a lot of water must have been displaced when he got into the bathtub.
Is that a cheekbone?
It was like the mane.
Holy moly. You're right.
It was like the mane. Oh, Jeff.
We were just our jokes were just ricocheting. That was like a pinball game.
Yeah.
I was making a joke about a totally different thing. Well, it doesn't matter. You know what? There's something for everybody. We're all talking about totally different subjects.
Well,
enjoy.
Not really, because we're both talking about very large people.
Right. Okay, back to Syria. I said as I grabbed the steering wheel.
Wow.
Get off the wheel.
Emergency got turn.
Okay. At any rate, so Clinton said yesterday, if you refuse to act and you cause a calamity, the one thing you cannot say when all the eggs have been broken is, oh, my God, 2 years ago there was a poll that said 80% of you were against it. You look like a total fool.
Hmm.
Well, you know, the problem is the American people, I think, are right to be cautious. Again, just like, you know, in the NSA debate, you can't go back and remove 9/11 in terms of our thinking. You can't go back and remove Iraq. Like, what? Talk about, like, rushing into something without the proper intelligence or information.
You have to go in smarter than...
And Obama was right about Iraq when he was a senator.
Yes.
You have to... What?
We have to go as carefully out as in we went.
We need to get out of Iraq as carefully as... We got it.
Carelessly.
That's what President Obama got. Said.
No, he didn't. He didn't say that.
We did not.
He said something like that, but a little more coherent.
Anyway, Clinton said, my view is we shouldn't overlearn the lessons of the past. Oh, I think you can't overlearn the lesson of Iraq, frankly. He said, I don't think Syria is necessarily Iraq or Afghanistan. No one has asked us to send any soldiers in there. Well, yeah, thank God. That's not what we're talking about at this point, but anyway, Clinton went on to say, when people are telling you no, meaning, you know, the American people in polls, mm-hmm. in these situations, very often what they're doing is flashing a giant yellow light and saying, for God's sakes, be careful, tell us what you're doing, think things through. Well, that's what President Obama did and is doing. Okay, John Kerry, Secretary of State.
Nobody wins in Syria the way things are going. The people lose, and Syria as a country loses.
Well, I think that we're doing the right thing doing something. I certainly think the wrong thing would be sending soldiers in. Senator McCain.
The President of the United States had better understand that just supplying weapons is not going to change the equation on the ground the balance of power.
That's not
kill, bomb, bomb.
No, bombing North Vietnam is going to change. Oh, wait, that didn't work either.
That's what I mean. It's never going to be enough for the John McCains of the world. It's like, okay.
There's never going to be enough bombs.
And then the other thing is, I love them demanding, well, what are we doing exactly? And it's like, that's good. Let's tell the opposition. Here's exactly what we're doing, and here's exactly what we're sending and where we're sending it. Shh, don't tell anybody. Senator, well-known Southern
I know. Wherever John McCain is, Lindsey Graham is to
right
follow.
Right behind him. Really just backing him up.
Wherever you go.
Right behind him. Always has his back.
The longer this war goes, the more damaged our allies, the more likely the chemical weapons can be used, not just against Syrians, but against us and others.
Right. So the problem is, as you know, our friend was just saying on the phone here, that's also a problem, mm-hmm. that our weapons fall into the hands of Al-Qaeda, who is fighting on the side of the people we're trying to help. So, all right. Dory in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dory.
Good morning, Mama, and
Good
my
morning.
Beloved Mickeys.
Good morning, baby.
Today is my furlough day.
Oh.
It is cold. It's raining. I'm in a state. I'm making phone calls.
Oh, boy. What were you furloughed from?
IRS.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know something? You can't say furlough without F-U.
It's funny because it's true. Steve in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Stephanie. How
good
are you
morning.
Today?
Good morning. I'm good. Go ahead.
Well, actually, Stephanie, I understand why everybody's so upset about what the NSA is doing and the interception of people's emails and phone calls. But the fact of the matter is that this started under the shrub.
Right.
And it's just one more mess that the shrub left for Obama to clean up.
And by the way, did you see, what's his name, Michael Hayden, former NSA director? He actually said Obama has been much more transparent on surveillance than we were. I mean, you know, and again, that's not to say you're still not going to have, questions about it. Jim, in fact, who said, and this would probably be too big, because I just told you who, said national security looks a little different from the Oval Office than it does from a hotel room in Iowa. Frankly, the Obama administration was more transparent about this effort than we were in the Bush administration. I mean, they made this metadata collection activity available to all the members of Congress, not just all the members of the intelligence committees. Who said that?
William Howard Taft.
No. No, I just said Michael Hayden, former director of the...
Hayden Panettiere.
And as we keep, you know, and again, I'm not saying, let's choose the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that obviously there were differences, and one of the key ones we've pointed out is that Bush was doing it without warrants.
Right.
I mean, so, okay. All right. Let's go to Chris in Connecticut. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Steph. I love you guys. Absolutely love you.
Thank you.
But with this serious thing, I was drafted in 69 and saw the tail end of the Vietnam conflict, and then Iraq and Iran, and we're finally getting out, and then this shows up, you know, and then this comment about Clinton saying that you know, Obama might be a wuss. It sounds like Marty McFly in Back to the Future with chicken. Nobody ever calls me chicken. And yeah. Who cares if he calls him a wuss,
right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know. It's just very, very aggravating. We keep making the same mistakes over and over again,
yeah.
Which is the definition of insanity. So.
Yeah. Well, I know. And Clinton said, Chris, oh, you know, he's talking about the polling. The American people aren't necessarily telling you no. Yeah. We kind of are. We're going no. Exactly what you said. We just got out of, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, barely. And I think you're exactly right. You know, we're right to be wary, and I think the president's right to be wary and to, you know, at least finish doing the intelligence before you
mm-hmm.
decide to do anything. Kelly in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Hello.
My comment in reference to Syria, in addition to what the guy from out of Illinois said about bin Laden, what about the cost of this? Aren't we under this... sequester, you know,
yeah.
because of the deficit and so on. So where is that money going to come
from? I know. It's always like, that's the thing with Republicans, Kelly. It's like, boy, you know, apparently it doesn't matter what kind of fiscal hawk you are, there's always money for a new war,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, honey. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
They call me her. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
My name is.
That's not my name.
My name is.
That's not my name.
My name is.
They call me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by Wix. All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Mason in Ohio on the NSA story. Hello, Mason.
Good morning, Sunshine. How you doing?
Good morning, Moonshine.
I got to tell you, you know, I'm pretty, I consider myself pretty liberal-minded,
mm-hmm.
much liberal Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And the NSA situation doesn't really bother me all that much because it is a grand sweeping of metadata. So it's phone
right.
numbers, essentially. So it's not very personal information. I mean, phone numbers are listed in a phone book, for goodness sake.
Yeah, but that's just the beginning of it.
It is the beginning of it. But I think what bothers me more is the giant double standard between the private sector and the government. Because the government's collecting it to keep us safe, to thwart attacks. They're not prosecuting Americans or using this data against Americans to
I know what you're
cause
gonna
Americans
say.
Any harm.
Yeah, the private sector is using it, is selling it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And they're getting into very personal information, and people don't even know how much of that information on Facebook, Google,
yeah.
Yahoo
yeah.
is being used just for sheer profit.
Yeah, I'm
and
looking,
no one's saying anything about it.
I'm looking at, you know, the Daily Beast piece. I mean, that's the headline. You thought you had privacy before the NSA leak? What about Facebook?
Yep.
And I think you're right. We for convenience, knowingly every day, Mason, right? To not have to go to the bank, to not have to go to a store to buy stuff online. We willingly type in all that stuff. Like, here's all my
right.
information. Right.
Absolutely.
And then they sell it.
And it's been happening
right.
for a very long time, too. And, you know, where was this conversation when Bush was in office? Why weren't we openly discussing it and trying to make it correct then? I think there's work to be done.
Right.
But obviously, on a very high level, to look at the grand scheme of things, this is not an Obama scandal.
Right.
And for those who think it is, they're cuckoo.
I know. Cuckoo. Well, you know, we're having Congressman Alan Grayson on next hour. And as, you know, people know, I could not love him more politically or, you know, personally as a friend. And I, you know, he has an act that I knew wouldn't even get past the House committee because, you know, there has to be a balance, I think, between security and privacy. And his just said, it's like the Mind Your Own Business Act. It's like,
yeah.
you know, government can't do any of that. Well, when you know, this caller said, oh, why people are upset about that. Well, people aren't. About 60% of us think this is okay for security. Whether you think that's right or wrong is another discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really think it really feeds in again to that loop, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, that I think this whole trifecta of so many scandals within, what, a couple months is ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, people have to see this when Republicans are, and they are daily, saying, oh, NSA is another scandal of a broken government and a broken Obama. Everybody's
yeah, right.
fired.
Mason, I've said that from day one. You know, I'm not that I disagree with some of the people, you know, a lot of the thoughts that Alan Grayson has expressed on this. But, you know, the point is you go, yeah, ooh, what, they blew the lid off a program that Bush started, that Obama continued, that all of our representatives voted for, except for Russ Feingold, pretty much. Like, you know, I mean, it's not, where is the huge wrongdoing or whatever they're trying to, you know, scandal,
right,
as you say.
Absolutely. And, you know, even with all of that being said, that, you know, no one's been a big fan because he said he wanted to open up transparency and not use tactics of Bush. Well, everybody needs to realize that, yeah, he is continuing it, but he also is implementing a lot of oversight that wasn't there before.
Right, Mason, that's what Michael Hayden said. He said the Obama administration has been much more transparent about this than we were. I mean, A, he's getting warrants, and B, he's letting the entire Congress, he's briefed the entire Congress, not just the Intelligence Committee.
Right, and I think we do need to use some type of broad scope to look at these kind of threats so we can stop them, and that's what they're doing. And again, I would be more concerned with it if they were trying to go after Americans for something.
Yeah.
But they're not. That's not happening.
Well, you know, and I think you're right. I'm a liberal. I obviously am a fan of civil liberties, but, you know, I also know a little girl that's growing up without a father because I lived in New York during 9/11, you know. And
right.
So, I mean, I think that it's, as the president said, I'm glad we're having this debate, but again, this is something that, you know, as Jim was saying, when I said we agreed to it, he's like, I didn't. Well, I mean, you know, we have an elective government, and, you know, you voted for Dianne Feinstein. It's like, okay, you can change that, I guess, but...
Right, and next election, they probably should. But it really seems to me, too, that when they talk about transparency, we can't honestly be 100% transparent in the government when we're talking about fighting people that want to do us harm, because that's like showing your hand at a poker game. It's just ridiculous.
You know, it's interesting. Senator Mark Udall, Democrat of Colorado, who's a big, you know, longtime champion of privacy rights, he said it's very, very difficult, I think, to have a transparent debate about secret programs approved by a secret court issuing secret court orders based on secret interpretations of the law. I mean, part of it is, you know, what Al Franken said, that, you know, if the American people see what I see, then the terrorists know, too. I mean, it's
right,
you're right.
Right. And I think, too, people aren't that concerned, that much overly concerned with privacy as well, because we do offer it freely.
Yeah.
And I think that that plays into the whole thing, too. And I think older Americans that aren't as technology, I'm putting on my Twitter feed that I'm going to the bathroom, you know, they do feel stronger about privacy issues than the younger generation. But, and there does have to be a balance, but I do think that we all have to use common sense.
Right. Well, you know, I know, Mason, it's interesting because I'm not personally on Facebook because whatever, you know, same thing. Like, oh, I think that gives me some kind of privacy. Like, not everything else of mine isn't all over out there anyway, right? I mean, you're right. You know, it's an interesting discussion. But the nation's top spy leaders, by the way, promised to declassify more information about the programs, but say revealing too much would tip off terrorists and help them escape detection. So that's, and I think that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't, you know, that's what I mean. You can't tell everybody everything, as Al Franken was saying, and not think. So we've got a lot to talk about. In a Senate hearing, Army General Keith Alexander implied the program, had it been around on 9/11, they might have been able to sift through the calls and catch. And again, shoulda, coulda, woulda, if my aunt had a, she'd be my uncle. It's hard to prove, but it seems like, you know, that might have some validity that, you know, we might have.
It's hard to tell.
There were specific calls they were talking about from, you know, a place in San Diego from one of the 9/11 hijackers to
Yemen.
Right. Repeatedly, that might have been caught by this kind of program. But anyway, all right, we have to talk. Even more reason why I'm not on Facebook. Kind of horrifying. You know, you may not be aware of how much you're giving up on Facebook. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. Congressman Alan Grayson coming up at the bottom of the hour. And sexy liberal John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang next hour. Live from the New York Bureau. All right.
Live.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Stephanie Miller on Facebook. Not the person, but the show. Because yet another reason why I am the smartest girl in class. Daily Beast, you thought you had privacy before the NSA leak? What about Facebook? If you've been using Facebook, you should know how little privacy you had for the NSA to invade, and the social media companies haven't been secretive about scooping up your data. And this goes to what this last caller was just saying, that, you know, she said at least the government's doing it to try to protect us, I guess. You, again, you can have your thoughts on that.
As far as we know.
The companies are doing it to sell it, though.
Right.
Well, right. Okay. Would you like the fun facts?
Okay.
Are you on Facebook, Jim?
Rarely.
That doesn't
matter.
But
you have a presence there.
That doesn't matter.
I'm always sure to log out if I do go on there.
Oh, yeah,
that doesn't
privacy's
matter.
Privacy's intact. That's on lockdown now.
It rests on their servers. They can go into your account at any time they want. Doesn't matter if you've logged out or not.
Mm.
And I love that I think I have some modicum of privacy because I'm not on Facebook personally.
No,
okay.
Please.
All right.
I haven't visited Facebook, 6 months, something like that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Your stuff is still resting on their servers?
I think it's the source of all evil, myself.
Yes.
It's like the high-tech high school.
Well, it's, it's all my high school friends.
I go on dating now.
Yeah. Yeah, all the people who were a-holes to me in high school are friend now. It's like,
thanks,
not going to happen.
No.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Are we good now? No.
And they're all fat and I am not.
Oh, my God. Ooh, that was years of neuroses just exploding. Like a mounts of Vesuvius of neuroses.
Hell yeah.
The government is turning, the Daily Beast writes that the government is turning into Big Brother in an effort to safeguard the homeland. Then the tech companies are rich uncles intent on getting ever richer. And for Facebook and the others, data translate to advertising dollars. Click on the word privacy. No, at the bottom of your Facebook page. Oh, because you're really in the bubble there. Everything's private there. And you're told, we receive data about you whenever you interact with Facebook, such as when you look at another person's timeline, send or receive a message, search for a friend or a page, click on view, otherwise interact with things.
Or if you breathe.
So see, Facebook knows how obsessive you are about your exes.
Uh-huh.
So don't think you're getting away with that. It's like you searching for, you know, cellulite on... Can I get a close-up of that picture? Okay.
What?
Nothing. I don't know. The company goes on to say...
What have you been doing
nothing.
Online?
Nothing. The company goes on to say, when you post things like photos or videos on Facebook, we may receive additional related data or metadata, such as time, date, and place you took the photo or video. That's right. When you post a cell phone photo on what you might call your Facebook, the company records exactly where you were when you took it, as well as where you were when you uploaded it, along with comments you or anybody else has to offer.
That's right.
Facebook further records the websites you frequently visit, as well as the date and time you visit the site. Yikes.
And any time you hit like on a product or a movie or something like that, they get
they're all over that.
Whole list of your preferences.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know how to market to you.
I'm not even on Facebook, and I get new, wouldn't you like this?
You must like this
you
if you
like
this.
You must like that if you like that.
That's right.
Do you like this? Like, no, what? I was just doing research for the show. Why would you think I would like that?
Apparently you like being hit in the face. All right. Well, then.
Hit in the face with
a mallet?
Oh.
No.
Never mind.
I don't send that to me, Amazon. I not like being hit in the face with a mallet.
Or anything else, for that matter.
Okay. Where was I? Oh,
I don't know.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay, everything Facebook can glean from online tracing is matched with behavioral data that partner companies collect from seemingly everywhere, including debit card purchases and motor vehicle records, court files, and financial records. One Facebook partner, Blue Kai, confects cookies to track individuals who have shown online interest in particular brands, which is why you keep getting the, I get the, I understand you like the wax vac.
Sure.
Perhaps you would
Ow!
Perhaps you would like something that removes something from other orifices. How about this?
What about a crinkly hose? I understand you like hose.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe what I get because of that. Not that kind of wrinkly hose.
Ooh, Ellen Greenspan in the bathtub.
No, Andrea Mitchell, stop calling me. That was not what I was asking for. Great, piece in Daily Beast. Personal details are what you tender in exchange for being able to do all the wonderful things that Facebook offers. So, and that's, Chris, what you said early on. Maybe that's why people aren't as outraged, because they're like, my whole life's Facebook anyway.
Exactly.
I gave up all my, lost the will. I'm all dead inside.
People post selfies of themselves every 5 minutes on Instagram.
Right. What's that?
It's like Facebook, but it's for pictures only.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Sure. No, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And then and now there's Vine, which you post 6-second videos of you or whatever.
6-second videos?
6-second
videos. What's the point?
It actually gets very creative because you can stop and start, and so you can make some really cool stop-motion type things.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
See, maybe I have 3 hours a day to be self-involved, so I don't need any further outlets. If I did not have the 3 hours a day to talk about me and what I think about things
something
and how fascinating I am.
Something tells me you're a little more self-involved the rest of the day, too. just putting that
just
out
a hunch.
There. Just a hunch.
My Facebook picture is from 1975. I'm dressed as Alex DeLarge from a
I don't know. Listeners, what do you think about me being self-involved? What do you think?
Oh, every Thursday there's a thing going around Facebook called Throwback Thursday where you post old pictures of yourself.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But
okay. All right. Well, I may be self-involved, but just not in a social media kind of
right.
way. I share enough of my thoughts for 3 hours that I don't feel the need to express every unexpressed thought. except certain friends I annoy endlessly. Oh, I forgot to tell you one thing about the other thing I was saying about. Okay, this is the smarter thing than the thing I just said like 20 minutes ago.
Penny for thoughts. You think I'm self-involved? You think
Which,
I'm
Dan?
Self-absorbed?
Can you give me a penny for my thoughts?
Thinking about my sadistic.
What are you thinking about me?
Okay. All right. Let's. Michelle in Washington needs to elevate the conversation. Hello, Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Back to you. Hey.
Hi.
Good morning, Chris and Jim.
Hey.
Hello. I just wanted to make a few comments about this Syria thing. John McCain just gives me a headache every day.
Yes, me
and
too.
And it seems like he's in an awfully big hurry to get into any war. I'm from the Vietnam era, marched in those wars, anti-war things, and I know that there's intelligence going on there, and I think we know a lot more than they... Us as a country know a lot more, but the people who are chattering in the background about what they think that we should do don't understand what's happening, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so...
Well, and not just, you know, Michelle, we didn't just live through Vietnam. We just lived through Iraq. So,
well,
I mean...
we just. Yeah. And Afghanistan's still happening. People are still dying every day.
Yep,
so
exactly.
So we're not done with that yet, you know. So and here he's going, rah, rah, rah. And I just don't... I want to help, but it's a complicated situation. There's so many tribes and so many different factions. We don't know who's who. And like you said earlier... Whose hands are those guns
right.
going to end up in?
Right, and you're not being a wuss for waiting for the intelligence to be ascertain
That's...
that he used chemical weapons and then have a measured response rather than...
Bingo.
You
know,
yeah,
thank I don't want a president that goes, oh, let's just go do this.
Yeah, because I'm afraid I'll look like a wuss. Because, George W. Bush, Exhibit A, didn't want to be called a wuss like his father.
McCain should know better, having fought in Vietnam.
Yeah. Right,
and right. shot down.
Right. Exactly. All right, let's see. This is Daily Beast as well. Edward Snowden could find refuge in Europe. People are guessing where he might.
Except for the UK. The UK said
right.
this morning that they will not allow him in. They will not allow him to board any, British Airways flight.
Oh, all right.
Yep.
All right. Yes, because the Queen may send the corgis, as we discussed yesterday. A vicious corgi attack.
They're not exactly pit bulls.
I liked what our...
That's what makes it funny. Shh. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Funny. I liked what somebody said last hour.
I'm being chased by corgis with their little tiny legs.
That would be ironic if he were to go to Russia and then say something nice about gay people and then be imprisoned, because that would be ironic, because, see...
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah, they have a new law now. You can't say anything about gays or you get put in the hooscow.
Sure. Such a bastion of freedom, that Russia, isn't it?
Right, right. Nicely done. Well thought through. Edward Snowden can run, but according to his own revelations about ubiquitous U.S. surveillance, he cannot hide, except as he has warned, apparently taught us, the only thing is a red hood that can protect you.
Hmm. Huh?
Remember? I said that story that he apparently is putting a red cape or a hood over his...
Oh,
when
that's
he
right.
uses his computer or types in passwords.
Right. Huh?
So instead of leaking all this intelligence, why didn't you just tell us to all wear a red hood? Not sure why it has to be red, but just saying, to cover when we use our computers.
That's really weird.
Be like, one of the, what's that thing they sell in the infomercial? Right.
No,
a hoodie, a computer hoodie of some sort to wear when you...
Infomercial? What are you talking about?
What am I thinking of? Snuggie something. What's the thing? The big...
Tinfoil hat.
No, the big snuggly thing that people sell on the late night infomercial. Should market those for working on your computer. Yeah, it's I don't know what it's called. Okay. Oddly enough, Snowden
might... Snooty.
Could be. Oddly enough, Snowden might be better off legally and in quality of life terms in Europe. In Germany, say. Yes, East Germany, where there's even more freedom.
What East now? Germany is not a country
I'm
anymore.
I'm kidding.
All right.
Where politicians are particularly upset that PRISM subjects non-Americans to forms of surveillance that cannot be imposed on U.S. citizens without a court order. Moreover, that the court that covers Germany has long insisted there be no extradition to the U.S. when there is a remote prospect of the death penalty or disproportionate sentence or oppressive treatment in prison. It could well decide that the severe punishment awaiting Snowden for making revelations of considerable interest to the European public precludes his extradition. So...
Yes, they have. They don't have the death penalty in Germany because they did way too much of that.
Yeah, yeah. They were just, you know, kind of.
They kind of went overboard.
Kind of broke the mold.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. Balance. All right. That was awkward. Okay.
That took a dark turn.
It did, as it often does.
Sure, I'm here.
All right. All right.
As you do.
17 minutes after the hour, right back with the Stephanie Miller Show.
Red, white, and Steph. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Congressman Alan Grayson coming up at the bottom of the hour. Jerry in Illinois writes, Mama, some people are claiming Edward Snowden is a hero because although he broke the law, he caused America to discuss an important issue. By that logic, wasn't Adam Lanza also a hero? He violated the law by brutally murdering children, and it caused America to discuss gun control and the treatment
of
the mentally ill.
Not the same thing at all.
Huh. The truth is both men are nothing more than criminals. Discussions resulting from their crimes are incidental. What separates whistleblowers from self-important idiots like Snowden is that even if leaking the information is a crime, it's minor compared to the crime the leak reveals. As you pointed out, Snowden hasn't revealed any crime. Jerry in Illinois. All right. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama. You are looking beautiful this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Mama, two things. Number one, Trent Franks, he like doubled down on the stupid and he's now blaming Democrats for when he said that rapes don't cause pregnancies.
Right.
They're taking it out of context.
Oh, I see.
Right.
They did that. And the second thing, Jim, you don't live in a conspiratorial world. Does this Snowden thing doesn't pass any sort of smell test to you?
No, it's just very weird. I can't figure it out.
Is it like they set someone up or they got a fall guy?
It's some limited hangout kind of thing.
The latest that I'm being told, and I don't know, you know, again, the specifics, but that Greenwald was talking to him before he went to work. Or he was talking to Greenwald before he went to work there? I mean, you're right. Something is off, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea that a guy, a high school dropout who got kicked out of the Army within 3 months has access to all this data, doesn't make any... And one more thing is, I think it has to do with the English, because Snowden goes to Lord Snowden.
Ah.
So the English are trying to get in and control America.
Oh,
and the girl with the cupcakes...
Right.
One is by land, two is by sea, means they're going to smuggle him back.
There you go. All right. I don't know.
What?
Can the attack of the killer corgis be next? Probably. okay.
Run, corgis, run! Oh, you can't. That's all. Very short legs.
Legs? Ottini. During testimony before the House Judiciary.
My kingdom for an Irish wolfhound!
FBI Director Robert Mueller was asked why he thought the NSA's monitoring of communications were necessary. He testified that had they existed before the events of September 11th, either could have disrupted or prevented those attacks. He said before 9/11, actually I think we have Robert Mueller saying that. He was talking about a specific individual.
If we had The telephone number from Yemen, we would have matched it up to that telephone number in San Diego. The simple fact of their detention could have derailed the plan. In any case, the opportunity was not there.
Well,
if we had had this program, that opportunity would have been there.
You know,
hard to say
yay or nay. Yeah. General Keith Alexander, NSA director.
This is not a program where we are out freewheeling it. It is a well-overseen and a very focused program. What we owe you, the American people, is now how good is that with some statistics. And I think when the American people hear that, they're going to stop and say, wait, the information we're getting is incorrect.
Yeah. Okay. And the Boner yesterday, John Boner.
These programs have helped keep America safe. They've enhanced our ability to go after terrorists who want to bring harm to the American people.
So this has obviously caused division among those on the right and on the left, mm-hmm. because obviously Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, disagrees with Boner.
You could go for zero tolerance of any kind of crime, but you'd be giving up your freedom. Our founding fathers said warrants have to be specific to the person in place. Generalized warrants, I think, are unconstitutional.
That's the thing. It's like he's like his dad. Like he's right on the filibuster, but he's kind of a douche on everything else. And it's like, he's not wrong about civil liberties, but as one of our callers was saying, he's just using this to lump in every, it's another scandal that's bad, Obama bad, because I'm running for president. It's not a scandal, and neither is the IRS or Benghazi a scandal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to lump it all together as, this is all government overreach by Obama, it's just not correct. All right, Debbie in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just thought I wasn't hearing correctly when you were saying Clinton was criticizing Obama.
Yes.
I just find it kind of disgusting. He's just like, he's no better than, John, I'm still whining about not being President McCain. It's just ridiculous. And I'm really excited about Hillary Clinton possibly running for president and a first woman president.
Me too.
But it kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth when Bill is, criticizing Obama for the purpose of her.
I'm kind of laughing because apparently I'm not liberal enough on this NSA thing. But I remember back during the primary, I was too liberal because the Clinton people hated me because I was pro Obama. So I was like,
I honestly don't think he's criticizing Obama on behalf of Hillary. I think that's what he actually thinks. He's more of a hawk than Obama is, I believe.
Well, I think he should have, since, they're supposed to be, this big love fest with all of them now, he should have done it in private. I think Obama's getting enough criticism from all the Republicans for everything else that's supposed to be his fault. I don't think that helps.
I
really don't want, and to me it just seems like it was all, 2016, everything's geared towards that now, what the Republicans are doing to him, what Clinton said about him. I think it should have been done in private.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I agree with you to some degree. I mean, he was at the McCain Institute talking to McCain, so I don't know whether he was trying to say, I agree with you on certain elements in Syria, but I think you're right. There's a way to do it, and the way to do it is not to go to Syria and criticize our president's, our policy on foreign soil and our president on foreign soil. And I think you're right. I mean, the way to do this was, I think, not helpful. We've seen what happens when someone gets called a wuss. Then their son goes into an unnecessary war not to be a wuss. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Alan Grayson on The Stephanie Miller Show.
No, I'm kind of a comedy snob, and...
Stephanie Miller.
Does make me laugh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Are you okay
minutes.
Over there?
Jim is giving me something for my gastrointestinal distress. Thank you. I'm not sure what's happening. All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone. Nobody did. Nobody help me. I'm fine. Don't touch me.
Yeah, I'm not going to get anywhere near you.
Okay, everything's good. All right, 34 minutes after the hour. It's all this dissension. Can't we all just get along on the NSA and everything else? Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why? Looky what time it is.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
I was right about that. How long did I call him former and future? And was I right?
You were right. You're always right, Ms. Miller.
Good morning, current.
Good morning. I'm so sorry about your gastrointestinal distress, but I feel good that I'm being interviewed from a safe distance.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are the lucky one, sir.
It's hot, isn't it? It's hot. Good morning, Mr. Congressman, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So, you know, we were saying it's interesting, particularly now with Bill Clinton's comments on Syria. I'm like, oh, boy, we're getting into these discussions again that we during the primary and now on NSA where who's a true liberal and who's not. And I'm getting called, you know, not a true liberal because I, you know, like a lot of people, I am torn on this whole NSA thing. I totally understand your position. You know, but I think that, you know, when the president said it, we can't have 100% security and 100%, what's the word? Privacy, I guess he said. Tell us about you have it because your bills are always named so great because it's so easy to understand. It's the mind your own business bill. Tell us about it. And you had, 12,000 people signed it, right?
In the first 24 hours, right. Yes. 12,000 people plus went to our website, mindyourownbusinessact.com, and signed our petition and became citizen co-sponsors. But let's talk about the facts first. According to the articles in the Washington Post and the Guardian last Wednesday, and the documents that they provided to support what they were saying, the government is getting information about literally every single phone call that you and I make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your case, I don't know, maybe you are a terrorist. I know I'm not.
So, thank you, Alan, for that.
I don't see why the government should be getting information about every single phone call that all 320 million of us make. There must be some, you know, less intrusive way for the government to keep us safe. I think that in some respects, in some sense, it's true that if the government gets information about every telephone call that we make, the terrorists have won.
Right.
There's no reason for that. That's like saying, in order to make sure that there's no hijackings, we'll insist that everyone who flies naked. Because you can't be carrying
a knife. Well,
that
would be more entertaining.
I mean, there's got to be some practical limits at some point. Now something that people only speculated about, often people who were wearing white jackets with their arms twisted around their bodies. The speculation has always been the government finds out about our telephone calls, the government finds out about our internet access, and now we know it for a fact that it's true. We know that it's happening, and it's happening not just to one person or to 100 people or to 1,000 people, but to every single one of us.
I mean, if you're routinely getting calls from, you know, Damascus or Tehran, you know, that might be a red flag, but every single phone call?
Right, and that goes right to the heart of the matter, which is where the Fourth Amendment draws the line. Mm-hmm. The Fourth Amendment says that you must have particularity if you're seeking information from a private source. And also the Fourth Amendment says you must have probable cause. In other words, you have to believe and be able to explain why
you
think somebody's doing something wrong.
But how do you pick up those patterns? And maybe I'm being dopey probably because I'm not very technical, but how do you pick up those patterns of calls if you don't have the metadata? Isn't that what, you know, Robert Mueller was talking about yesterday, that he said, you know, we may have been able to prevent 9/11 had we been doing this before 9/11.
We may have also been able to cure cancer and bring about world peace.
Right.
You know, I mean, may have. Is that where we're at now? The government, according to the PRISM document, the PowerPoint that was released and leaked, the government is collecting information from Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, YouTube, Skype, AOL, and Apple. And what information are they collecting? Emails, videos, photos, stored data, VOIP, which is actually the content of telephone calls, file transfers, video conferencing, logins.
That's a problem.
And what they very interestingly refer to as special requests. Okay? And you're telling me that the government needs to get all of that information simply because arguably, possibly, maybe, they might have been able to prevent 9/11. Don't you think the terrorists understand that the government is monitoring the system already?
I think
they're alert to that fact?
Yeah. You know,
Osama bin Laden sent emails for years that the NSA never detected. But instead, they're reading maybe your emails, maybe my emails. We know for a fact they're getting information about your telephone calls and my telephone calls.
But, you know, it's interesting. Thomas Friedman wrote a piece yesterday I was just quoting because I thought it was an interesting point of view, is that, you know, he, again, is saying it's not that he doesn't care about civil liberties. One of his fears is if there is another 9/11, the American people will willingly, you know, surrender probably all their civil liberties, don't you think? If we have another attack on the scale of 9/11?
We've probably already done
that. Well, you know, I don't think we need to worry about that too much because I don't expect that George W. Bush is going to go on vacation while he's president for the entire month of August when the attacks then take place at the beginning of September. That particular scenario is now behind us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that George W. Bush is going to get a memorandum that specifically says that Al-Qaeda is looking for targets in New York and talking about hijacking airplanes and then do nothing in response to
that.
Maybe that's the sort of thing that we should be concentrating on. Maybe the gentleman who gave something like 30 warnings to his superiors about 9/11 before it happened, maybe that's the sort of thing we should be concentrating on, not tapping your phone or
my phone. No, and I agree with you on that, I think the reason we haven't had another attack, you know, is because we don't have the same incompetence that we had, during the Bush administration. Your petition is short, by the way. I want to read it. It says, I don't want the government looking at my emails, my telephone records, my website records, or my GPS records. I cherish my freedom and my privacy. I'm not a terrorist, and I won't let my government treat me like one. Therefore, I support Congressman Alan Grayson's Mind Your Own Business Act. But obviously, last night, the House committee blocked the amendment, which it obviously can go no further.
Well, we're introducing a bill that I hope will get a lot of support from both sides of that.
Right.
There are actually some Republicans who seem to care about civil liberties. There are some people who have actually written to the president who are Republican members of Congress and said they're not happy with this program.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been talking about the strange bedfellows. You know, when Glenn Beck and Michael Moore tweet exactly the same moment that Edward Snowden is a hero, something has gone awry. I mean, there's Senator Franken, right? I don't know. I'm sure you've heard his comments. He said, you know, that he's looked at this stuff and he said, look, if, you know, the American people see everything I see, then the terrorists, the bad guys see it too. I mean, I it's hard to, like I say, this is tough stuff, I guess, as the president has said.
Okay, but now we no longer have to speculate about what it is that Senator Franken is seeing or not seeing. You know, the NSA has not come out and said that this court order was photoshopped. Nor have they come out and said that the PRISM document explaining that according to the document itself, the Department of Defense can actually pull directly from the servers of Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, PalTalk, whatever that is, AOL, Skype, and YouTube and Apple, that they haven't said that somehow this document is fake. So now we know what's actually happening. We didn't know that 10 days ago. We do know today that the government is, for a fact, an admitted fact, and claiming that it's legal, actually getting information on every single phone call made in this country. We know that for a fact now. So we've moved beyond the question of what would happen if we find out and the terrorists find out. We're beyond that now, okay? We've moved beyond the other question, because Snowden himself has invited us, we've moved beyond the other question of should we be thinking about whether he's a hero or a villain. Snowden himself said the worst thing that can happen out of all this is if there's a focus on me. That's not what this is all about, and God bless him for saying that. No, now we as adults and as citizens have to make a decision about the kind of environment we want for ourselves. Do we want to live in a 1984 world where the government literally is monitoring, tracking every single phone call we make or not? And that's the decision that's before us right now.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, I want to get your take, you know, because obviously the other big story is Syria this morning. And, you know, here again we have, you know, some dissension even within, you know, the Democratic Party. We have Bill Clinton saying, you know, he's afraid the president will look like a wuss on Syria if we don't do more. And again, you know, the American people, I think, are fatigued, and I think glad that he you know, waited until we saw exactly what the intelligence was on chemical weapons in Syria. Where do you fall on that? You know, for John McCain, of course, it's never enough. It's never enough military intervention.
You know, honestly, I don't want to sound glib, but I don't think it's really that crucial to us. Nobody's been able to articulate to me why America as America has a strong national interest in that particular fight. Honestly, to me, it matters much more that the Supreme Court decided yesterday that nobody can own my genetic material.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That seems important.
Yes.
That's going to have all sorts of consequences.
I agree, as someone that reveres your genetic material, just FYI.
Oh, God.
I didn't mean that in a dirty way.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
And yet you're so far away from me right now.
I love you, Congressman Alan Grayson. We'll talk to you again
too.
Soon, honey. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Wow.
I did not mean that.
Of course you did.
No, I did not. 45 minutes after.
How else could you mean everything beautiful in my life dirty?
45
well,
minutes.
Well, how else could you mean that?
Just because of what it created. The superior genetic.
No, the euphemism genetic material refers to something very specific.
Well, I haven't seen that specific thing in years. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Mecca of Misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Identity Guard. Making it okay to trust again, go to identityguard.com. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Michelle in Baton Rouge, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Michelle. Hi.
Good morning. As I was telling the gentleman that asked, I just love you guys down here being here from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I think a couple of weeks ago, a gentleman was talking about by the gender, and he was like, East Baton Rouge, which is the part I live in, which kind of like one of the worst areas. I mean, I can pretty much walk to the governor's mansion because I'm in that area. But anyway, by the gender is just pathetic. I was calling that for the birth control pills or the abortion. This for the men. Y'all better open up your eyes and realize that if a woman can't take a birth control pill, that means we're going to get pregnant multiple times because they're trying to stop abortion.
That's right.
Which means that's multiple babies you're going to have to take care. But then what's going to happen if he can't take care of all the babies that's being made, he's going to get thrown in jail for child support. So what good is that going to do for the multiple babies that's been born?
All right, good.
You're trying to block the vote for African Americans, Latinos, or Blacks because we poured out so much for Obama. Now, if all us have multiple babies,
all right,
that's just more Democrat babies that's going to be born.
All
and
right.
We're just going to have way more Democrats than what you already have.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. All right.
I'm saying if you're against abortion, you have to be for contraception.
All right. Yes, well said. All right.
Those are your options.
Always nice to speak to Mrs. Leon Redbone.
And what was that about Bobby Jindal?
I don't know. It took me a while to pick up anything, but okay. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Good morning.
I wanted to comment on the original first black president's comments about Obama, which really took me by surprise. I mean, if there's anyone that should know how ridiculous and irrational Republicans can be towards the Democratic president, Bill Clinton. So his serious comments about President Obama are really perplexing. I mean, so what? Obama's supposed to ignore the quagmire experiences this country has had with Vietnam and Iraq and jump into the Syria conflict minusly. And if another disaster happens, Obama can say, well, at least I don't look like it was. I won.
Right.
I mean, why Clinton would even slightly undermine a sitting Dem president is baffling. I can't read his mind, so I really don't know what
that's about. When he said the polling, showing, the American people don't want this is, the people aren't really telling you no. Yeah, we pretty much are telling you.
And he's an intelligent man. I mean, I'm trying not to be too emotional because this may be just one blip in a long news cycle.
Kevin, he was a very, very effective spokesperson and advocate for the president during the last campaign cycle, But and again, who knows if this is, an old grudge, it's an ego thing. I don't know,
Why not say it like some caller said? There's some things that you should discuss privately, or at least he's a smart politician. He can certainly phrase it in a way that doesn't seem like he's coming again. We only have one president at a time, and I'm just, again, I thought I'd never forgive the Clintons back in the primary, so maybe this is one blip, but it's really to go there is just stunning.
Yeah, don't give the right wing ammunition. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Eric in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
You know, what I would like, I like a question, you know, ask you. I don't think Bill Clinton could win a primary, a Democratic primary. Think about the things what Bill Clinton put in policy when he was in. He got a tax increase, true enough. But think about what I'm saying. He put in DOMA. Don't ask, don't tell.
Well, it was Eric, I will say it was a different time, but I will say that yes, he did some conservative things that
You people say Ronald Reagan could not win a primary today. I've heard that numerous times. Bill Clinton, the policies he put in place, we are still suffering from them today. This is what they were policies. He gave us a tax break, which was
right. Okay. I get it. Bill Clinton did some very good things, and he did some things, for instance, deregulating my industry, as Randy Rose would say, which has not been helpful. Disappointed.
Disappointed.
Which has led to 50 zillion right-wing stations and...
Yeah.
But we are little island misfit toys.
He also couldn't keep it in his pants.
Whoa, now.
Well,
Tim,
that's true.
In Miami. Steph, just wanted to remind you folks that the station that carried you in Miami, WINZ, still second to last in the ratings with a monstrous 0.3 rating. Matter of fact, the four sports stations combined to get an actual 3 share. It takes four freaking signals carrying sports to equal what you were doing in the number 11 radio market in the country. Mm. And partially, thanks, Bill Clinton. Thanks for that. All right. By the way, I need to do a z to Caterpillar. Caterpillar Inc. no longer giving money to the Boy Scouts because the organization discriminates against homosexuals.
Wow.
Caterpillar has made donations in the past to Boy Scouts of America. The company's charitable arm, the Caterpillar Foundation, has donated money to local scouting programs in the area where it has factories and other facilities.
Hmm.
They said, we have inclusive policies here at Caterpillar Inc. and the foundation abides by those. We just don't feel our two organizations align.
Wow.
However, if there's a change in Boy Scout policies, we would certainly consider a change in future grants if there was a change that aligned with what our non-discrimination policies are. A Boy Scout spokesman called the decision a disappointment.
Disappointed!
Oh, dear. Zach Walls, our buddy, our pal, mm-hmm. Eagle Scout, with two moms, says, believes Caterpillar decision reflects a broader shift in attitudes. He said, this isn't a crazy progressive company that's super liberal. Caterpillar is very much a middle American company. I think this indicates where middle America is moving at this time. Speaking of which, happens when all giant news breaks, it looks like we will be on vacation when the Prop 8 and DOMA decisions come down.
Maybe you can call in that day as soon as you're here.
SCOTUS blog wrote the most likely days, and again, we'll see, but for the opinion on gay marriage would be June 26th or 27th. And again, not, what am I thinking? Not next week. Yes.
Right. We're here next week, but the weekend following. The
weekend
after that.
Following, right, when that would fall.
When that would drop, as the kids say.
Right. When that record drops.
Well, yeah.
What's going on with Jim today? Okay. Did you see this picture? 90-year-old Republican accidentally wanders into an LGBT pride event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who am
I? Drinking their liquor, chatting away.
And then he realizes.
Can you see the look on his face?
What the?
What now? Gays, stop me! Gays!
Representative Ralph Hall, Republican of Texas, spontaneously showed up at an LGBT pride event last week. Some attendees thought they'd been witnessing a breakthrough in the 90-year-old congressman's history of opposition to the gay community.
Computer says no.
No, just old and lost.
Yeah.
He spent some time drinking and chatting with other partygoers before he realized he's like, these people are very well dressed. Republicans. Before he realized he was in the wrong place, Hall and his staffers believed they were an event for one of his other fellow congressmen. But when he asked where his colleague was, he rediscovered his mistake. He said, at that moment, I realized that this was not the reception I had intended to attend. Mine was considerably less gay.
These
and I put down my glass,
I'm
thanked the sponsor, and then told him we would be leaving. Many of those in attendance probably were surprised to see me walk in, but were not surprised to see me leave quickly. He supports DOMA and has called President Obama's decision to drop the measure outrageous. Almost. Gotta go. 58 minutes after the hour, John Bugle saying next. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I have this weird sense, Jim, that someone's listening in right now. Somebody's sexy from New York.
The astronaut? Oh, no.
He's the astronaut. Oh, God. He's a
listening in on your transmission, and it's perfectly legal. Good morning,
Stephen. Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, beautitious one.
I'm watching you on Current TV, Steph.
Hi.
Here in the Boo Radley Insert Studio in New York.
Your little tiny shoe closet.
Great to see you all. Mooks, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, while we're all focused on mini scandals, we talked to someone that was just sequestered earlier this morning,
yep.
John. How about this? It always happens right before we go on vacation. There's some horrific story about the airline industry. FAA cuts, exhausted pilots, ancient planes. Is your flight really safe? Fabulous. So I'll be flying next week.
As long as I get the back row, that's all I care.
Right.
I want the back row on every flight. I want to have the non-reclining seat next to the commode stench. As long as that's where I'm at, I know I'm set.
It's like those TV teasers. Something in your kitchen will kill you.
Nah.
Film at 11.
By their own admission, though, pilots do fly fatigue. The National Sleep Foundation poll of commercial pilots found that one-fifth of the 202 pilot respondents admitted to having made serious safety errors due to sleeping. The cuteness of sleepiness has worn off for them, and presumably the people on there. That's why. Yeah, go ahead.
All aboard Amtrak.
And now they're talking about eliminating one of the pilots.
And, oh, awesome.
What's his name?
Now there's only Otto the blow-up pilot?
Yes,
and,
right.
And, John, when you say that it's easy to take Amtrak, yeah, it's easy for you to take Amtrak.
Right.
The rest
right.
of the country, we can't take Amtrak.
No.
I know. I'm stuck here on the East Coast where we still have weather, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I always fly. Well, you know where I'm flying. I fly my usual airline.
Settle in. Relax. With even more legroom than before. In-flight personal video. Newly redesigned comfortable seats. And the finest airline meals in the industry. So when you're settling in with our award-winning service and a strange, bi-curious middle-aged woman offers to shove her tongue down your throat,
right.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. It's something special in the air.
All right.
I thought you were exclusively on Screaming Baby Airlines. Staff.
No,
I didn't realize
I switched
you branched
to
out.
Chatty Toddler, and then I inadvertently found myself on middle-aged bi-curious woman airlines last time I flew.
Did you hear
my
that
demographic.
Story?
Did you hear that? No, it was not me.
No, I kind of live it, but no, tell me, what do you mean?
Oh, my God. All right, give me some sexy music.
Oh, dear.
I'm
flying the next two weekends, once with a baby, so I need all the good airplane travel stories I can get.
I don't know.
Depends on your definition of good.
Well, so far,
let
I love
Let me just
it.
Say nothing good ever comes of, layovers in airport bars.
In Tucson.
Right!
Oh, yes. I spent a month there one weekend.
No, just chatting up a gal at the bar, just talking, just going to visit her kids, blah, whatever. Here's some guys on Match.com. She was telling, I'm like, oh, he's cute, blah, blah. She asked me, I'm like, I'm gay. Oh, I did not. You know how it happened, John. Oh, really? I've been with women. I was like, oh, you know what? So then we get on the flight, and literally...
Yeah, I'm about to be with another one.
Halfway through the flight, she's like, might I kiss you? And I was like, no.
What?
No. Like, she was offering me a mint. Just, might I? I was like, no. Coffee tea or me?
Yeah.
It's like, no, thanks.
Oh, it's so depressing when women think they can act like men who can't act like that.
Right? Exactly. Well, hearing is already gone from radio, so I thought over the airplane. So
wow.
I was like, I'm sorry, what now?
What?
Can I what?
Well,
you...
she just went and ruined middle-aged bisexual women for me.
Right?
For at least an afternoon. That's horrible.
And did she hand you a note or her number at the end of the flight?
Yes.
Well, that's lovely. I mean, you expect her to come on to Stephanie because Stephanie's got the pheromones. I've been on planes with Stephanie. I know what it's like. The entire plane, the flight crew, the flight attendants, they're
hurling
all there
themselves.
Hovering around the seat.
Right.
They all want a piece of what she got. They don't understand
it.
But that's
just
tacky.
You think it's turbulence. It's just people hurling themselves at me. All right, John.
Then maybe you should fly more often.
See, I blinded you with this science study yesterday. Somebody sent it to me again from Psychology Today. Why intelligent people drink more alcohol. It's a thing, Jim. It's a thing.
I've always said that.
Human consumption of alcohol was unintentional, accidental, and haphazard. Until about 10,000 years ago. Well, it still is for me. Sometimes I trip. Whole box of wine.
Goes in your mouth.
Don't want to waste it. It's a new study, John. More intelligent children, both in the UK and the United States, grow up to consume alcohol more frequently and in greater quantities than less intelligent children. Just saying. Thinking of the children.
Exactly.
You're talking about pros and amateurs is what you're talking about.
Well, thank you.
Because there's some dumb people drink a lot out there.
Chris, are you all right? Chris is drunk.
Somebody please think of the children.
And that's why this woman on my future wife list is a helper, a problem solver. Police, drunk women had a boy 10 drive. Well,
what?
I'm just saying it is a solution. Well, police in Louisiana say a call about an SUV being driven recklessly on Interstate 10.
On the interstate?
Led them to pull over a 10-year-old boy who was driving. Well, the boy's grandmother and another woman in the vehicle were arrested because they told officers they had the boy drive because they were intoxicated.
Where drunk to drive?
So this is an unfit grandma that did this?
It's a grandma and her friend.
Oh, no.
You know, if his feet can reach the pedals.
Right. Right. Saying it's one solution. I don't know. You know, the one moment you're having one drink, John, and the next minute you're killing your boyfriend with a stiletto.
What?
I hate when that happens.
Well, that was tequila was involved in this one. Houston.
Illegal now, too? Big government.
We're going to ask Steven Weber, whose character was killed by a stiletto.
And single white female.
She says it was in self-defense.
No, a stiletto is a small knife. It's not stiletto heel, necessarily.
Oh, well, this was a stiletto heel.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
You just said stiletto, so.
Sorry. Pardon me. Ecclesiastical MOOC.
Yes, my child.
Yes, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get my thing in the way of your organ.
Whip out your
organ. I saved the story for you because I know you will be
You're
shocked.
Always in the way of my
I'm already, like, overwhelmed by the amount of information I've received in just this act alone, by the
way.
Between you on the plane and women with no game and
right.
children driving and drunk accidentally and
like
stiletto
a
murder.
It's like a tennis ball machine of useless information just shot at you at
exactly
high
right.
speed.
It's just so much dross with no actual content. It's like all the contents of my head on your airways.
Take it.
Shunk.
Take it like a man.
Shunk.
I saved this story for you because I know you'll be shocked to find that the Pope says there's gays in the Vatican.
Oh, yes, he did.
He said a gay lobby.
Gay lobby.
Which
right
is like
next to the gay vestibule by the gay paintings.
If you saw it behind the candelabra, like it's the open. It's the
yeah, this is behind the tabernacle.
When you walk into Liberace's house, it's a gay lobby.
Excuse me for being so informal.
Oh, pardon me for being so informal.
I decided to just wear the red shoes.
Oh my God, Liberace dresses exactly like the Pope.
You're right.
You're exactly right. He said, in the Curia, there are holy people, but there is also a stream of corruption. The gay lobby is mentioned, and it is true. It is there. Francis
yes.
said, we need to see what we can do.
He outed that there's a gay lobby.
They're calling this the VataLeaks scandal because somebody's leaked the information. Really? That there are gays in the Vatican? I'm sure this is shocking information to you, John.
And oh, it just theater. Means that now the Vatican gets to say the Pope was wrong again. I'm getting used to that. Yeah, there's a gay lobby. But what they haven't said is, are they a lobby for gays? Are they a lobby of gays against gays? Or are they a lobby of gays for gays. All we know is that there is a Vatican of gay. I'm sorry, there is a lobby of gay priests, or as they're also known, priests.
Right.
Or it's just a really gay lobby with like maple floor
pictures. It's really more of a gay vestibule, Jim. More of a gay sitting room.
Right.
Liberace's lobby with Robert Mapplethorpe paintings. Now that's an even
gayer
lobby.
It's so upsetting, because the Michelangelo paintings are so butch and straight, so I'm just kind of thrown off. I never knew God was a dominant daddy top until I saw the Sistine Chapel ceiling.
Okay, send your cards and letters to John Fugelsang, New York, New York, 10101.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Stephanie Miller-Jones, no.
If Michelangelo was straight, it wouldn't be a great painting, okay?
All right.
I'm just saying, you look at that God. That God is what a bunch of trolls in the village wish they look like with the upper body development. I'm just saying.
Right.
He knew how to draw a sexy daddy.
God is ripped.
Mm-hmm. And so is Adam.
You know what? Stephanie Miller just disassociates herself from the Stephanie Miller show at this
We're discussing
point in time.
Sacred art, Stephanie.
Okay.
And sacred
hot,
art
and
the
hot
Sistine bombs. Chapel.
The remarks, which were made off the cuff, were not meant for the general public. They were first published in Spanish.
You mean the posts are ours?
Dios mío. Priest with no pantalones. Ay caramba, priest with no pantalones. was sourced to participants in the audience who allegedly spilled the beans on the Pope's address.
He spilled the frijoles.
Yeah.
Lou Dobbs is still outraged that this Latino is sneaking to take a white guy's Pope job away, by the way.
The Daily Beast pointing out there have been ample examples of priests in compromising positions dating back to 2010 when an undercover reporter for Panorama magazine caught priests strutting around in panties and fornicating on church property with a hidden camera.
Wow.
Oh, dear. He painted a shocking portrait of how priests in Rome...
I'm sorry, I'm so informal.
How priests in Rome blatantly disobey their vows of celibacy, complete with rumors of steamy Turkish baths, where top-ranking cardinals and prelates met up for some not-so-holy horseplay.
Which I think is awesome. This proves what I've always said on your show. It's not the gay priests who are interfering with these little boys, like Benedict said. It's the straight priests, straight-identified priests. The gay priests have boyfriends.
But if you're prelate,
no
that means you're
that.
On time.
You know, they think there's a loophole. You know, the celibacy vow. God didn't specifically say anything about a grinder app.
Oh, there's loopholes all over the Vatican, believe me.
God did not mention grinder or bang with friends.
What? They don't need it.
What's
bangs with friends? It's a Facebook thing.
Bangs with friends?
Oh, my God. I told you something about social media you haven't heard of? Oh,
this
come
sounds
on.
Dirty. What
it
is it?
Dirty.
It is supposed to be.
It is.
I've never heard of this bangs with friends.
I haven't heard of it either.
All right, we'll research and we'll talk more
bangs
about it after
with
the break.
Friends?
17 minutes after the hour.
It's nothing like words with friends, is it?
It is not about haircuts.
Is it about hookups or is it about what girls do to their hair when they're depressed?
No.
Okay. Could be both.
What are you saying?
Ladies, you're allowed to be depressed, but you're not allowed to cut your own bangs when you're depressed.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is my single issue.
You've had bangs since 1994.
I've been depressed since 1994. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
God kind of had the build
feel
of
the vibration.
God kind of had the build of Marky Mark.
All right, everybody settle. John Fugel saying losing his in the New York Bureau. All right, 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dana and Marilyn, you're on with John. Hey, Dana.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Hi, John, how are you?
Good morning, how are you? Happy Friday.
I'm put a hazmat suit on your son if you're taking him on a plane.
Oh, yeah, why is that?
Because they get sick every time. Sorry.
Oh, no. I do pretty
I
good with my...
I don't mean to jinx it for you, but every time with our son, he gets sick. So.
My baby's actually such a horrible person in regular life that on planes it seems rather mild, so it's okay.
No, he's delicious.
He's a sadistic.
So I was watching the show last night with Elaine Boozler, and I love her. And I remember shortly after the election calling and speaking to Hal one day about women's rights, and I also called his radio show that he does and talked about it with his friend Katie and how they were just going to go after abortion right away. And,
yep.
You know, I just want to brag and say I'm correct.
Yeah, you are correct, ma'am, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about that, Trent Franks? It's, Todd Akin, the return, right? Women don't get pregnant from rape.
And the most sick about it is that now these guys are using this to their advantage for fundraising. Trent Franks, by the end of the day, had given a fake apology, then went to this Christian lobbying organization, hoo-ha, and was talking about how he was so persecuted, but he wasn't going to stop fighting the good fight. And it's like, dude, you are trivializing rape. It doesn't matter the numbers of women who get pregnant when they're raped. What matters is that it happens. And you are trying to make it so if a rapist rapes a woman and she becomes pregnant and chooses with her doctor to terminate the pregnancy, that you want the doctor and the woman to go to jail too. And
yep.
The question that we have to ask every Republican, who deserves the longest jail sentence in order, the rapist, the doctor, or the woman, and make them answer.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, I love, and they just keep getting worse and worse. Did you see this Virginia Republican lieutenant governor candidate? He denies this, except
great.
That he wrote it in his book, that birth defects are caused by sin.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
That's who you picked, Virginia. You're my mom's home state. I love you. I'll be in your state next week, and this is the guy you got.
E.W. Jackson wrote in his book, 2008 book, 10 Commandments to an Extraordinary Life, that birth defects were caused because of sin.
Of course,
and
E.W. spells ew.
Yeah, ew.
Ew.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I just want this guy to lose so he can get his own radio show already.
Yeah, really. Let's go. Always room for one more right-winger. John!
You heard about Jeb Bush, right?
Well, no, what?
What Jeb just said?
What did he just say?
Oh, Jeb pretty much just decided he's never running for president. Jeb Bush just said this morning that immigrants are more fertile than native-born Americans.
Okay.
Oh. Yes, Jeb Bush is never running for president.
Little brown ones.
Immigrants are needed to prevent a U.S. decline, but that they have more children because they're more fertile.
Little fertile brown ones.
Little brown ones are like bunnies. What'd I say?
That's the smart one, folks.
Wow. Okay, then.
Immigrants are more fertile.
By the way, speaking of which, and as a man whose genetic material I also adore, much like our previous guest, Alan Grayson, I am happy to know that your genetic material cannot be patented, John Fugelsang.
So am I. My God, so is FEMA.
Ha! Supreme Court says human genes aren't patentable with victory for women with breast and ovarian cancer. Yeah. Supreme Court ruled yesterday that human genes isolated from the body cannot be patented, a victory for doctors and patients who would argue that such patents interfere with scientific research and the practice of medicine. The court handing down one of its most significant rulings in the age of molecular medicine, deciding who may own the fundamental building blocks of life. The case involved Myriad Genetics, Inc., which holds patents related to two genes known as BRCA1 and BRCA2 that can indicate whether a woman has a heightened risk of developing breast or ovarian cancer. Is that the one that Angelina Jolie has?
Right,
mm-hmm. Right. That's what I thought. The High Court's ruling was a win for a coalition of cancer patients, medical groups, and geneticists who filed a lawsuit challenging the patents. Thanks to those patents, the company has been the exclusive U.S. commercial provider of genetic tests for breast cancer and ovarian cancer. So they said today the court struck down a major barrier to patient care and medical innovation. Because of this ruling, patients will have greater access to genetic testing, and scientists can engage in research on these genes without fear of being
good.
Sued. So, yeah, yes, good.
Well,
on that.
That's
good
settled.
On that.
That'll never be a controversy again.
John Fugelsang, here's some good news for us. You know, when the comedy gods taketh away, they also giveth back. So just as Michelle Bachman has been taken from us, guess who's back? Sarah Palin has rejoined Fox News as a contributor nearly 5 months after parting with Fox News. She is rejoining the network as a paid contributor. Oh, gals. Marianne in Wisconsin, you're on with John. Hello, Marianne.
Yes, good morning. You want to talk about crazy stuff going on here in Wisconsin? Harley Davidson sent two motorcycles to the Pope. No joke.
No
way.
And
then, of course, we have our governor here who has decided that a woman, if she wants an abortion, has to be shown a picture of her own ultrasound before she can have an abortion.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you, Governor Wanker. Okay. David in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Well, yes, good morning, folks. Listen, the congressman just lives across the river from me.
Oh, Joe Wilson, yeah.
Yes, the home of Donna Rice, up the street from me, and governor walking the trail, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This NSA stuff, you know, the private companies can get your information. The most they can do is just send you a bunch of spam, maybe charge you overdrafts on your credit card. When the NSA gets your information, they can throw you on a no-fly list. They can take away your freedom. Apparently, I was on some kind of list about a dozen years ago, walked up to the counter, tried to board a United flight. They pulled me aside, asked me a bunch of questions, finally waved me through, but don't know what happened. But I hear once you get on that list, you can't get off. But
I hope you feel more safe knowing that you were detained.
That was probably from calling my show during the Bush administration.
Yeah, maybe that was on one of those planes that got grounded someplace.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. John, what are your thoughts on the whole and the latest on the NSA stuff?
Well, I'll tell you, I called the White House to tell them, and they said they already knew how I felt about it. It's possible people need to realize that Edward Snowden can be a hero and a traitor at the same time. But the problem is, as much as we like President Obama, just because he's not abusing it doesn't mean someone else will. The most incredible thing about it is we've got this weird situation where you've got Feinstein and John Boehner on this side against Michael Moore and Glenn Beck on
that
side.
Exactly.
It's not strange bedfellows. Yeah. It's a key party at the Star Wars cantina. And
right back with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
every time I mention
Stephanie Miller,
the first thing you say is boobs, not the complete sentence, does she have big boobs, which also would not be great, just boobs.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show this hour, brought to you by SodaStream. All right, it is Fridays with Sexy good. Liberal, John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Did you see Vice President Joe Biden was at a fundraiser for Ed Markey?
Ed Markey?
Candidate for...
Markey for M.A.?
For the Senate in Massachusetts. In reference to Al Gore, who introduced Biden at the event, he said, this man was elected President of the United States of America. But for the good of the nation, when the bad decision, in my view, was made, he did the right thing for the nation. And he went on to say, it's a pretty simple proposition. The United States of America, the state of Massachusetts, does not need another Republican in the Senate. I'm being straight about this. This is not your father's Republican Party. It really is a fundamentally different party. There's never been such a distance, at least since I've been alive, a distance where the mainstream of the Republican Congressional Party is and the Democratic Party is. It's a chasm. It's a gigantic chasm. And he is right about that. We could talk about other decisions Al Gore has made, but let's just not get into that, John. Let
you
us
sure,
not
Steph?
Get
sure?
in. No, let's not talk about that now. All right.
If you say so. He sent me a copy of his book.
Did he? Good.
He sent me an autographed copy of his book. That was nice.
Good. Fabulous. Yeah. You know what I love is the... So the sequester clearly is in place. We talked to someone that was furloughed earlier today, John. It's in place because of Republicans. Period.
Yes. And then Democrats.
But I love that there's all these essential things that we should, you know, we really ought to undo these ridiculous cuts. But it's hilarious. They cry like a baby when it's something that we take away from them, like the congressional picnic. It's hilarious.
Come on, really?
The White House will not hold its annual congressional picnic because of, sequester.
And sorry about all you people that lost jobs, too.
Yes.
Oh, that.
Yes. They said it is schedule-related, not sequester-related necessarily, but it would have to be rescheduled perhaps to, I don't know, this September, and some children won't be able to attend because school will be back in session. So a lot of congresspeople were very... Yes. Oh, in fact, I remember when the White House canceled White House tours, John Boehner said, that's just silly. It's just silly.
Ridiculous.
I want my tours back.
Despicable.
Unbelievable. Representative Candace Miller, Republican of Michigan, asked why Obama ended the White House tours in light of the sequester instead of the annual Christmas party or the congressional picnic. And so now he did the congressional picnic, and they're like, why? Don't take our picnic.
These are the most horrible people in the world. Yep.
Just saying. Oh, by the
way. John Boehner's the guy who forced the sequester through the House, and that's all you have to do, friends. Anytime anyone wants to yell about Obama and the sequester, all you have to say is who pushed it through the House, who strong-armed the Republicans into voting for it.
I got 98% of what I want. I'm pretty happy. I'm very happy.
Okay. Anybody been watching the Zimmerman trial, the jury selection?
No.
Not on Fox News, I haven't, because that would make my... They had a New York City...
I'm waiting for my next Zimmerman one-on-one with Hannity. How you holding up, champ?
Yeah. How you holding up? Yeah, we're quite sure it was him yelling for help on the tape, aren't you?
Help,
sure?
I've got a gun. It had to be him. The guy's 50 pounds heavier and has a gun. Of course he's the one screaming for help.
Help me. I have a
help,
gun
have
and you
gun.
Don't. Help. He has Skittles.
He has a legal fund in case you'd like him to make some money off of all this, folks. Oh, so God. Keep that in mind.
Awesome. Fox had a New York City police detective on FoxNews.com that said Trayvon Martin would be alive today if he didn't have a street attitude.
Isn't that nice?
Oh,
right.
My there you go. God.
That's not racial code or anything,
right?
Right.
Oh, no.
Right.
His street attitude.
Yes.
In Florida.
All right. John Fugelsang, we are currently obsessed with Behind the Candelabra, as you can tell.
Oh, such a great movie.
The HBO
Liberace
movie?
Great of Michael Douglas to come out after that film came out, and he's going to win an Emmy, he's going to win a Golden Globe, but he really wants us to know he's straight.
That's what I said. I thought, was this the way? I'm really not gay and having sex with Matt Damon.
Yeah. I got
regardless
cancer.
Of that scene with the poppers.
I got cancer from cunnilingus, and I was like, get her.
Get her.
All right, yeah, that might have been a little too much information.
Oh, well, sorry. Yes, well. But I love the film. I thought it was terrific. And, you know, my soulmate Joy Behar had the real Scott Thorson on her show this week.
Well, I was going to say I have a stack of Scott Thorson news this morning. He says Matt Damon's gay sex skills are off the charts. So says
really?
Liberace's real ex-lover Scott Thorson.
Based on this, based on cinema.
Right. Cinematically speaking, he said his, yes. Okay.
You like my gay sex skills? You should. You're paying for it.
Matt Damon got a Brazilian butt tan, you'll be happy to know, for the...
What?
He did spray tanning for the new biopic behind the candelabra. He said, with the spray tanning, the Speedos were actually much smaller than the bikini underwear they gave me when I got the tan, so I had to pull the underwear up the crack of my butt to give myself a Brazilian tan. It also surprised his wife. Afterwards, my wife was like, what the f*** has happened to your...
Wow.
Just saying. And this is another weird... We know him. This is another weird story. Liberace's ex-lover is out of jail.
Uh-huh.
A brothel owner paid $15,000.
Yeah, Dennis Hoff.
Moonlight Money Ranch guy.
Dennis,
our friend.
Dennis was on Joy's show with Scott this week.
Yes.
They were on together.
He used to be on the Stephanie Miller show a lot in the
90s. Quite often, yes.
Mm. Don't hassle the Hoff.
It's a different Hoff entirely. He says he moved Thorson into his guest house behind the brothel, so that Thorson can get treatment for colon cancer and drug problems. Ooh. He also hired an attorney to help him avoid prison. He says the late Liberace's abuse prompted Thorson's life of drugs and crime. That was an interesting, because I was watching...
Maybe mental abuse.
Yeah, but I was watching the...
I must say.
It's a weird love story, though. They really did love each other, and you got to go, a lot of it was weird, and asking him to have plastic surgery.
I'm sorry,
does
being an elderly queen with no attention span getting bored of his twink count as abuse now?
But he also signed up for it.
Yeah, Liberace kept him under his thumb, a lot.
Yes. But is that...
But
can he blame his later crime and drugs and stuff on Liberace?
Codependency. He was consent at all times.
But also remember that the book was based on a movie written by Scott Thorson, so it was told from his point of view.
And the film is the one thing taken into account, the film is outrageously pro-Scott Thorson.
Exactly.
He's rather an angelic angel in the film.
Right.
Yeah. No, and that's what I'm saying, is that.
And at the end of the movie, you notice it said Scott Thorson currently lives in Reno. It didn't mention that he was in prison in Reno. Oops.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. In other news that is totally not gay at all.
He shot a man just to watch him die.
Such a great movie. And by the way, Jane Morris plays Matt Damon's foster mom, and she's great. One of our finest improv actors.
They seem very touching. Those scenes.
Exactly.
And the story is just so great that he had this cast and this script, and no one would make it a movie even after Brokeback Mountain and HBO came through, and they broke ratings records.
They did.
This casket is waterproof and moistureproof.
Remember The Loved One
in '60s? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that.
Moving on, in other news that is not at all gay at all, that is completely unconnected to what we've just been talking about, Top Gun 2.
Oh. Nothing gay about that at
is
all.
Is still possible, says producer Jerry Bruckheimer.
Incredibly straight film, and incredibly tall, too.
For 30 years, we've been trying to make a sequel, and we're not going to stop. We still want to do it with Tom, and Paramount are still interested in making it. What Tom tells me is no matter where he goes in the world, people still refer to him as Maverick. It's something...
Someone else has that problem.
It's something he is excited about, which... When he's excited, you cannot...
I'm so excited!
And he said, as long
as... Can you imagine that pitch meeting? We're going to get Tom Cruise back, yeah. We're going to get Val Kilmer back, yeah. And Kelly McGillis. Somehow I don't think Maverick settled down. He's a Maverick.
Yeah.
Kelly McGillis settled down.
She didn't settle down with Tom Cruise. That's for damn sure.
She didn't. I'll be impressed if they bring her back.
I think Top Gun 2 should be about drones. It's a bunch of teenagers sitting in a room with, joysticks.
All right, that's funny. All right.
That's current, too.
We're wearing board shorts and AC/DC T-shirts instead of light suits.
Roll your desk chair into the danger zone.
Right. Yeah. Your chair's in the danger zone. Okay. I am required by law to do this, to keep you apprised of where Lindsay Lohan is in rehab. She has left Betty Ford Gym, and she's at... Cliffside Rehab in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you keeping track.
Why are rehab places just clustered in Malibu?
Because it's pretty.
It's pretty. You can hear the ocean.
Until Santa Ana set the whole place on fire.
And it slides into the ocean.
Why? Wow. Okay. Anyway, just had that.
Wow.
I'm legally required to inform you of where
Lindsay Lohan actually, during her time at Betty Ford, she chased away more sponsors than Glenn Beck did at Fox.
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much, John. And they say, will she be able to have her Adderall there? Probably not. Don't you hate it when they take your drugs away in rehab, John? It's mean.
Not fair.
It's mean, y'all.
You have to learn to hide them better, Steph.
Right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Jugalsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Fridays with sex liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Are we allowed to do two Donald Trump stories in one show?
Yes.
Oh, please. He said that
Modern
Edward
Family
Snowden
sucks.
Was a
yeah.
He said Edward Snowden was a grandstander.
Oh, hi!
Like, wow, that's like calling Donald Trump called him Mr. Stupid Hair.
Donald Trump vows to protect bikini contests from burkas everywhere. He called into Fox and Friends. Oh, there's a think tank.
Oh. Well, no, that happens every single Monday.
Yeah. To comment on Miss World's decision to nix bikinis in the Indonesian competition to not offend the country's large Muslim population, he said, well, I own Miss Universe, so I'm actually very happy about it, because if Miss World doesn't have bikinis, the ratings going to go down the tubes.
He only owns one. He had to marry her.
Brian Kilmeade said, what about Beth Burka as a compromise? Thank you, Brian Kilmeade. That was a joke! Okay. Oh, wouldn't that be beautiful? Trump jokes back. All right. That's some
what
of that there.
Maroon.
Yeah.
That's some of that there humor they engage in over there on the Fox and Friends.
What a maroon! What an ignoramus!
Wow. This story is sort of terrifying and yet heartwarming. John Malkovich, did you see this rescued a bleeding
Malkovich,
man in Toronto?
Malkovich.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
The actor was smoking a cigarette on the street when an Ohio man tripped and slashed his throat on some scaffolding.
Ah.
Malkovich ran over and started applying pressure to the man's neck, didn't let go till the ambulance arrived.
Wow. See?
But smoking. He normally plays a villain. You would think that would end badly. You'd look up and John Malkovich has his hand on
your... Malkovich.
Vitch. Vitch. Right.
Malkovich!
Right.
Malkovich, Malkovich, Malkovich,
Malkovich, Malkovich, Malkovich, Malkovich.
See, so smoking actually saved somebody's life.
There you go.
There you go. The doorman said he comforted the man who was worried about being sent to the hospital, telling him, listen, they have really good health care system up here. He got in a little political point as well. On the other side of the celebrity scale, John, I love this story from Salon. Jeremy Irons is officially the worst.
Oh, no.
You have no idea.
Oh, no. Has Depardieu got a competition? What's going on?
No, he's worse than Depardieu.
Here are the fun facts. Someone, Salon writing, someone, please help Jeremy Irons find a job. He needs a better gig than his current one of full-time troll. April, he gave a bizarre interview with HuffPost Live in which he speculated same-sex marriage was a gateway to incest.
Mm-hmm.
In February, he recounted the story of a female friend who'd been entangled with a much older man when she was 13. He said there was sex involved, applauding her casual attitude toward the youthful statutory rape experience.
Hmm.
There are people who are victims in life, he explained, and I don't think they should be encouraged. Oh, you know, whiny 13-year-olds.
Sure.
Now,
is this funny because people thought Jeremy Irons was gay for about 12 years? I mean, I guess.
Now, he has expanded his sympathetic view towards sex abuse. In a weekend interview with the Sunday Times, he weighed in on the recent revelations of sexual abuse that went unchecked for decades in the U.K. entertainment industry. The late TV presenter Jimmy Savile, have you heard the story?
That guy's believed a monster.
Believed to have abused upward of 450 female and male victims, some as young as 8. Over a 40-year span, Irons explained that young folks who hung around the sets of shows like Top of the Pops in the 70s were obviously goers. That's slang, apparently, for somebody who...
She's a goer. Know what I mean?
Or is someone who is promiscuous. What were these girls doing there? What did they want, the lot of them, when they hung around the caravans and trailers afterwards?
Oh, no.
There was a sort of sexual freedom to have all that dragged up for something relatively innocuous. That's tough.
No wonder he played Humbert Humbert. It was a stretch.
They seem to be in a mood to pillory anybody. Well, anybody that's been
raping
kids
like
for 40 years.
Creepy grandfather figure.
He said, Salon says,
I
don't know what they wanted.
To see Regis.
Salon writes, I don't know what they wanted either, but I'm guessing the answer isn't to be raped and then mocked about it 40 years later by the guy from the Die Hard movies. He also said there is a blanket term for child abuse, and if the worst
wait
thing
a minute.
You...
Jeremy Irons wasn't in the Die Hard movies.
Yes, he was in the third
yes,
one.
Yes, he was.
Oh,
yes.
In the third one? Okay.
Yes.
And Die Hard for 2.5 hours, whatever it was.
Right. He said there's a blanket term for child abuse, and if the worst thing you've done is put your hand on under someone's thigh under their skirt, that may be sexual abuse, but it's not like buggering a 9-year-old boy.
Oh.
Salon writing, apparently then sexually abusing boys is worse than abusing girls, and abusing 9-year-olds is worse than abusing, say, 12-year-olds. Got it.
I've always thought you should play Boris Karloff. Has the same accent.
Yeah, but if you murder an orphanage full of children, it's not as bad as murdering two adults.
Wow. Right. He's gotten very,
very... it's all bad?
He's got very creepy. Very, very creepy.
Hello, Lisa.
At least he's not Robert Downey Jr., who made a toddler cry because he wasn't wearing his Iron Man outfit. Jim, be sure to dress as anybody
right.
you play in a children's
Commander
thing.
Clink or whatever you do.
Just right.
Whatever. What have you played?
I know what you're thinking of.
Right.
Captain Quark.
That's
there
it.
You go.
Commander Clink.
Robert Downey.
Hogan?
Robert Downey Jr. left 18-month-old superfan Jackson Denno in floods of tears because he wasn't wearing his character's trademark red and gold suit in public. Jackson's mother was left to console her sobbing son, who was devastated to discover his Marvel Comics hero was a work of fiction. She said he was fine as soon as he talked to him. He was so confused because I kept telling him it was Iron Man, and he knew it wasn't. He said, well, not Iron Man in the suit.
He only got Tony Stark.
Her son is 23.
Mom, he's not wearing the suit.
And there's a
picture.
He
should be lucky Robert Downey Jr. didn't sneak into her kid's bed and fall asleep when he did back when he was using the...
The cocaine?
Right.
Or, yeah.
Right.
Or punch him in the throat.
Yep, right.
Well, he's, you know, practices Wing Chun, various other martial arts.
Right. I hate to have to end on this celebrity stack story, but George Clooney once joked about ironing his balls, and now it's a thing. Now it's a real
it's
thing.
It's a what? It's a thing?
It's a thing in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
It all started back in January. George Clooney told Esquire that he's never had his eyes done, but he has had the wrinkles removed from his... It's a new technique, he said. Many people in Hollywood have done it. It's called ball ironing. Now one of Hollywood's go-to...
I feel so stupid for spending all that money on Botox there, by the way.
Right. Ow. Right? That was unnecessary.
I hope he was joking.
He was.
He was joking.
Okay.
But now it's a thing.
Now it's a thing.
Hollywood's go-to rejuvenators took the actor's comments at face value and began offering the treatment at one Santa Monica spa. Nurse Jamie.
Oh.
If you guys want to know where you might get them ironed, here it is. Nurse Jackie, owner of Beauty Park Medical Spa. Sold the Daily Mail her new Tighten the Tackle procedure.
Yeah, that's what she calls it.
Says it involves using lasers to remove hair, erase wrinkles, and correct discoloration on the scrotum.
Oh, right. That's kind of hard to swallow.
John Mulaney.
Feel good about airing out the boys,
right,
I guess.
Right. She said they thought the Brazilian bikini wax was crazy 10 years ago, and now it's just part of the process. The tide is turning. Don't knock it until you try it.
That's not the part they're supposed to be looking at.
Don't be haters. And many apparently are, she says, particularly before an award ceremony when she says she gets inundated with requests.
Oh, come on. Who's going to...
They're not going to be on display.
What kind of awards are we talking about? The Golden Globes?
The AVN Awards.
What are you wearing? Well, here, I'm wearing Armani, but would you like to see my... Let me unzip the Armani so you can see my balls.
Wow. Meanwhile, in the third world...
Nurse Jamie, by the way, recommends...
First world problems,
right,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Ball discoloration, that's our main problem here. Nurse Jamie recommends you come in for a testicle touch-up once every 4 weeks, just in case you're planning.
Really?
Guys, really? Guys don't care what the balls look like. Okay.
Hey, Steph, I love you. Over the weekend, try to imagine something funnier than a Rupert Murdoch Fox News anchor complaining that someone is listening to your call.
Exactly!
We love you, John Fiegel, saying see you Monday.
Have a great weekend.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.